So do you have anything for me this week, Scott?
There's a lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, but did you bring me anything?
Well, brought you a breakfast bun.
No,
I know it wasn't an apple fritter like you wanted, but
right.
I brought you coffee.
I was thinking something, something metallic, something shiny, perhaps.
My mind's going to a very strange place when you're asking for these things, Brian.
Well, when people have anniversaries, they like to celebrate them by, giving things. And something is a 25th anniversary, they like to, share them by giving by giving jewelry, maybe, or gifts, or a new MacBook Air.
That would actually be the perfect silver anniversary gift for us.
For me. This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media,
and random foodstuffs. We're your hosts. I'm Scott Gold.
I'm Brian Bishop. And this is episode number
25.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It is August 13th, 2011. And yes, this is the 25th episode of Tech Bacon.
Episode 25. It's a milestone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Big, crazy week. Lots of stuff all over the place this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's an HTC announcement. We got stuff with Walmart and Voodoo.
Some new iPhone cloud rumors that are really interesting. But But to top it all off, we've been talking about, lots of lawsuits and everything. And there's been discussion about Apple and Samsung getting into it. And this week, a court in Germany granted an injunction to halt all sales of the Galaxy Tab 10.1 in all of the EU, save for the Netherlands.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big chunk of countries.
Yeah, so it's kind of a crazy huge deal. This is not a patent infringement case. It's more like a copyright and like a trade dress.
It was a design thing. It was they called it something. It wasn't a copyright, but it was...
Yeah, I mean, it's more like of a trade dress thing. The gist is that basically the design of not only the Galaxy Tab 10.1, its boxes, it's basically it's broad reaching. The entire way the product is kind of put out there and demonstrated is infringing, and they're claiming it's infringing, and Apple is alleging that it's kind of designed to confuse customers, and it's very specific. It's down to the curves of the corners of the device and the bezel. It's very specific.
It is very specific, and I mean, so the injunction is pending a inquiry. What is it?
Well,
it's
actually happening. Basically,
no. So I mean, I know. No,
ship,
I know.
They can't. No. I'm saying basically the current stock that's already in country that can be sold.
Right.
They can't ship any new stuff in. There is Samsung is. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there, but it's in effect awaiting a trial.
Well, basically, Samsung. I mean, right now it's just happening. Samsung has a. They're going to be talking to the court on August 25th. For an appeal to try to go and get it, pulled back or whatever.
Right. But they didn't give a final ruling. This was just
the preliminary injunction.
They can't sell it because they're waiting for a court.
Right. It has to get formalized.
Whatever actually has to. This is
exactly
the holding period.
Yeah. This is like the preliminary
injunction. They can't sell.
Yeah. And I guess the German court is a lot of courts will go and not, grant an injunction off the top of the bat until the whole thing has run its course. The German courts are known for being a little bit aggressive in that sense.
Yeah.
And just kind of saying, we think there's infringement. Boom. We're just bringing the hammer right now. And, everything else can be, if you think that's incorrect, you'll deal with that later. But they're apparently very aggressive with that.
And I guess Apple is also trying to do the same thing against Motorola in the EU also.
Yeah. And earlier, Samsung had decided to hold off sales in Australia of the 10.1 Galaxy Tab for a similar thing.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. It's weird. I definitely go and I appreciate any company's need to go and protect their, copyright, the way their products are presented, all that kind of stuff, because those things are of huge impact.
Sure.
However, at the same time, you like to think that it's going to be very, very specific and clearly stepping outside the bounds. The Galaxy Tab 10.1 thing I could see. The Zoom one, I don't. That's what was weird to me. I can see if you're looking at a Galaxy Tab with the bezel from the front, where the buttons are from the side. From the front on, if you don't have it turned on, it looks exactly like an iPad,
Except for the button.
Correct. The button's not there, yeah. And if you even look at the size.
But if you turn it on the back, it's
totally different.
Totally different.
But even on the bottom, they have a 30-pin dock connector, which is a standardized connector, but it's designed to kind of look the same.
It looks very similar. I do have to say, when my brother had it and he first got it and he had it at the house and we had family over and stuff, everyone kept asking him what it was.
Yeah.
So people knew it wasn't an iPad.
Right.
Like, and I wonder, so that was interesting.
I wonder if it applies too, if it's, you know, something's in advertising and something's boxed, or if you don't know that it's not different until you kind of get it out of the box, is that still playing with the infringement? Because obviously, once you buy it, it's kind of too late. You know, I don't know the specifics of, you know, of German law in that sense.
I'm curious. I'm very curious to see how this plays. I mean, it's big for Apple.
Yeah.
It's huge, and it's horrible for Samsung. It's really not. I mean, it's bad for them. It hurts them. It immediately impacts them, I think.
And it's just one of, you know, many suits that's kind of, you know, that between Apple and Samsung across the entire Galaxy line of, you know, products, phones and tablets at this point. There hasn't been, Apple hasn't gotten any love, you know, with their, you know, suits, at least thus far on the Galaxy phones.
No.
But this is rather, it's obviously what they wanted.
Well,
it's
and
kind
it's
of
a
intense.
Different, and because it's not a patent thing, it's actually a different tactic.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different than all the stuff that's been going on.
Well, and it's in a sense too, it's one that I feel is almost, if they can prove infringement, it's actually the most valid for Apple, because presentation and design is such a huge part of why their products are successful. Like, that is kind of like their stock and trade, right?
Yeah.
That's their big thing.
Very true. Very true. You
know? And it's not just the software, although I think the primary way you interact with all these tablets is the software. That's the primary experience. The physical device itself is what they're
known
for.
Apple is a design company as well. I mean, I've always been a design company.
Absolutely.
That has been one of their strongest points, always.
Yeah.
Always.
And Samsung's not made any bones about the fact that they're trying to respond in kind. I think when the iPad 2 came out, their CEO openly said, like, okay, we have to retweak our 10.1 because it's not good enough.
Right.
And they came out with something that looks somewhat similar. I guess it's that fine line. Where is it?
I think it's
okay,
like,
and when it's too far.
If you think about it, like, I'm just trying to, in my mind, think about it right now. How could you make it different where you wouldn't infringe upon that? Like, what could you do?
I would think the Zoom, I think, actually, you know, does that. You don't confuse a Zoom with like with an iPad, either first or second gen. You know, it looks very different. It's thicker.
If it was thinner, you would.
I think it's,
you know, what I mean?
I think they can. I mean, I agree with you.
It's like, it's hard. It's like saying, you know, a computer monitor.
Right.
Like, how do you differentiate it? It's a fine line.
Yeah,
for this specific kind of device.
Sure. I mean, I guess you could say if you take a device that has a black bezel of a certain proportion width across a screen of a certain size, with a metal backing that kind of slopes out behind it, with corners that look a specific way, and buttons placed in certain positions so the profile up front looks the same turned off, except for the button. I think I see that.
It's hard.
You know? People like you and me, we look at it, we go, okay, it says Samsung, the camera's in the wrong place, there's no button
on front.
You know, we go, okay, the 30-pin port is in the landscape orientation. We get that because we search for those things. That's what we look for immediately because we're trying to figure out what it is.
The general person sitting in the store.
Probably not, but also the thing with all these cases, it's like somebody, at least in patents, it's somebody with, you know, reasonable knowledge in the work in question. You know, I don't know how that applies in German law. If it's just like an average consumer, because it is, you know, a copyright thing and it isn't a patent thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're in a store, I definitely see, if you're not well-versed, why you would, you know, not see the difference, because you aren't trained enough to know what the difference
sure,
is.
Sure.
And is that, you know, is that unfair? Is that violating their, you
I
know?
Wonder. I don't know.
Well, we will see.
It's going to play out. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just also a little follow-up to last week. We kind of mentioned it, but I want to bring it up again. I'm sorry, I'm totally blanking on the guy's name from
Nilay Patel.
Nilay Patel wrote a great article about the patent system, and I just urge people who are interested in this to check it out, because he really put it in a great perspective.
Yeah.
And it's worth reading, and I just want to give a shout out to that because I found it very informative and well written. So.
It's a great piece. It's he's a writer for thisismynext.com. That's obviously the site that you know, one of the editors that used to be with Engadget, now they're going to be The Verge, which is still a terrible name.
Yeah, guys, I don't like The Verge. Yeah. Although you did say Topolsky is writing for The Washington Post, and that's the name of his column. It actually works really
well. That's awesome, yeah.
I saw it in the byline. I was like, oh, that works
that
great for a byline.
Exactly.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as it is, the name, you know, they'll be successful, whatever, and I'll still read it. It's fine.
And we like what they do.
But the typeface and the logo do make it look like it's a 70s band. But that's okay, because the content will be good.
I kind of like that.
Really?
It's some weird reason. I don't know why.
We're going to change this show to Jethro Tull.
Yes. No.
No?
No.
Rush?
No.
No? Okay, never mind. You're not on board with this. That's fine.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, come on. You love it.
Yeah. So the other big thing this week was HTC making an announcement.
Yeah. Now, and they go ahead. No, this is so funny.
Like, you're probably going to say the same thing. So go ahead.
The day before they released it to the press, you know, a major announcement is happening like 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. We won't tell you what it is, but it is a major announcement.
You know what these companies are failing to realize? They're failing to realize that when Apple does this, they're doing it for actual big announcements. It's not just because they say they have a big announcement and don't tell you what it is that makes it exciting. It's actually because of what they're presenting. You know, stop it. Stop. All these companies, just stop. Unless you got earth-shattering news, you know, stop.
Or at least a product, at the very least.
Right. I mean, listen, if HTC came out and said, hey, listen, we just bought Research in Motion, okay, that would be big news.
Well, if they did that, they should just be quiet, because that'd be kind of sad.
But you know what I mean? Like a big
Research
merger.
Research in Motion should say, we got bought by HTC. It's all going to be okay.
But anyway.
And what was even – okay, and what was even stupider is the night – okay, they said this about 5 o'clock.
And by the way, I love HTC, so – but they're just, this was just stupid.
Well, the day before, they say major announcement. Literally 3 hours later, the head of the company goes to talks to All Things D and says – oh, yeah, we're doing this thing. And he basically spills it. So the morning of the next –
over the blogosphere
12 hours beforehand.
Everywhere. Everyone knew what it was.
Yeah. And what is this exciting, innovative, forward-thinking, massive news? They bought 51% of a headphone company.
Of Beats. At the moment, the headphone company.
Yeah. Well, the
music company. It's headphone and microphones.
Yeah, I would say the most highly marketed headphone.
Successful and well-known.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Would I pick them over Sennheiser? Would I pick them over, you know, many other products? Probably not. But for what they do, they are the biggest brand, per se, out there.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes, they are. And I like their products. I've used some of their headphones, and I really like them.
Yeah, obviously Beats goes and sells, you know, high-end headphones. There's the Beats by Dre line.
They partnered up with a bunch of different artists and they have like their lowest end ones I think are $100.
Yeah.
They do have some lower models, but the higher models are like $300.
Yeah, $200 to $400
for noise canceling, you know, headphones. And I mean, the noise canceling headphones that they make, I think are fantastic.
Yeah.
They fit great. The noise canceling is awesome. I mean, I really like them.
Yeah. And to take nothing away from them, I mean, you go spend that money on most high-end headphones, you get
into a marketplace that already existed. They didn't create that marketplace. Yeah.
So it's like there's that whole thing of like, you know, that's special because it's Dre. Well, it's special because they're just high-end headphones that you're now buying because of Dre. But if you bought other $400 headphones, they would also be great.
Exactly. So, but their big announcement was that they are partnering with Beats Audio to bring Beats Audio
circuitry
to their phones.
Now this is,
we don't really know what that means.
This is one of those things where it could be awesome, or it could be, you know, this is, you know,
nothing.
Beats snake oil, you know, it's gonna go and, you know, make your sex life better and make everything perfect and, you know, cure all your diseases thing. It's
right, we don't know.
I've always been extremely suspect of, like, you know, the Beats Audio circuitry, because at a certain point I want the best reproduction of the files I'm listening to as possible. I don't want anything changed, I don't want anything tweaked. I want that file to be a pure reproduction, so I can choose, you know, what I'm listening to by the file. Like, if I want to listen to a crap MP3, don't bring down, you know, don't EQ that to sound better to my ear. I'm just going to go get a better file,
right?
You know,
right.
But that's me, and I'm a little bit of a nerd in that sense.
Yeah, and you're definitely an audiophile, I think. Yeah. I mean, I would say you have a good opinion on this stuff.
I'm definitely opinionated about it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very opinionated about it.
But you know what you're talking about in some sense regarding audio. You're opinionated?
No, never.
I'm shocked. I can't imagine. You know what was interesting though? That thing I sent you. They had partnered with HP for their laptops previously.
And the touchpad. That is a big selling point for the touchpad. Like the Jimmy Iovine came out and the touchpad release, and he did the same spiel. And so we got to go and bring this great audio. It's a superior experience and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, obviously it's not going to affect crappy laptop or speakers on an iPad. You're still going to hear whatever. The highest quality those speakers can produce is what those can produce. That's not going to affect you. It's when you do an audio out, either through headphones or through something else. I did think it was interesting, though, that there was a thing they released for HP showing what they claim, we don't know how true it is or not, but that they redesigned the actual components.
Right.
And I thought, if that's what they're doing, if they're redesigning the components and they're getting rid of all the metal in the headphone jack and they're separating the audio lines inside the board so they're not interfering with other things to create a cleaner sound, mm-hmm. if that's what they're doing, if that's what Beats Audio means, then I'm on board.
Well, what
I
was
think
funny
that's
is
fine.
They said that that's what they're doing. They did not say that that's what they hadn't been doing or that other high-end manufacturers also
know.
Hadn't been doing the same thing.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Because there's one thing you haven't seen anywhere is – and I think if it was this would get put everywhere if it was true. There's been no A-B comparison between the line out of a Beats Audio device and this other device and something else.
However, they may – who knows? They may do that when their big phone comes out. They may go this compared to the iPhone or this compared to other phones. Look at what the difference is. We don't know.
Exactly.
They may do that.
And there has been – I mean not to take anything away from it. There has been definitely anecdotal evidence that like, yes, it does sound richer or fuller in the low end. My question is that, is that better reproduction or is that tweaking
– I don't know. Yeah.
Artificially tweaking the what's the output of the file you're listening to.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking about, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, Sony was kind of trying to rebrand the Walkman line and stuff like that. You remember that? They did something interesting on the software side. When paired with their headphones for noise canceling. So if you bought the Walkman, and I'm wondering if HTC is going to try and do something like this. If you bought the Walkman, there was software inside the Walkman that when paired with specific Sony headphones, it was able to have noise canceling built in.
So they basically...
So instead of putting all the components in the headphones, which... That's what the headphones do. It's actually circuitry.
They basically only gave you half the solution, so you had to go.
Yeah,
it's weird. I mean, it's smart in that sense.
I thought it was cool because
it's like headphone lock-in.
No, but not necessarily. I mean, yes, but also those headphones get bulky because of the noise canceling stuff. And so, if you can build some of it into the device not have it in the headphone, then you can actually have a slimmer form noise canceling headphone.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So I thought, and I'm wondering if they're smart, they'll do something like this,
Yeah, I don't know. Like I keep harking back to, once again, the CD player days. And I had this great Sony Discman that I listened to all the time. I listened to...
Oh, man, the Sony Discman. Remember all the Sony Discman?
The hits of the late 80s.
They skipped.
Mine, you had to get this. If you spent the $300 or $400, well, you got ones that wouldn't skip.
But they didn't have those right away.
Oh, no. It took a while. Well, then you'll know what I'm talking about here next.
Then they had the buffers. Remember? That was actually like the precursor to the MP3, where they had like the buffered like 6 seconds of the CD.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, I was a big fan. I listened to all my late 80s metal stuff, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, even some Warrant. Janie Lane, rest in peace, by the way. And there's a feature called Turbo Boost.
Oh, I remember.
Turbo Bass.
I remember that.
It was a switch, and all it did, I'm sure, was like, just bump up the EQ, and it was like so
totally
silly. It's like the special feature. That's what I worry that like Beats is.
And maybe it is.
Because people say like, oh, it's richer and fuller. So was Turbo Bass, but it was actually just a stupid EQ. It wasn't actually very
great. Think about it, though.
Although it was good. I mean, in a sense, like I did listen to it.
Right. Well, and think about it. Like if you're saying, okay, I had Jimmy Ivy configure my EQ. Okay.
But it's also
kind of cool.
Or did they go and basically, EQ it to what's going to be most pleasing to the human ear? I.e.,
maybe.
If it's louder, you think it's better,
but
that kind of thing.
I do know this guy is very involved in this brand.
I also know that he's a great salesman.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But he used to run Interscope Records, if you guys wonder who Jimmy Iovine is, and you know, was overseeing them in the days of Nine Inch Nails and tons of other bands when Interscope was really, really relevant. So I don't know. We will see what happens. Like I said, I would rather go and have the best reproduction of the file and let me choose, because I can go and add the EQ on my phone. I can add the EQ to my music player.
Right.
I don't need a special headphone or special circuitry.
It just maybe they're just going to start including higher end headphones with their phones.
That I can never see happening, because there's no way they're going to go, because the market on these things
they may cost more. It's not going to be the same price.
But that's the thing. They're not going to go. There's no way are they going to start charging $300 for a $200 phone because you get fancier headphones and you can buy those aftermarket, because they still want to go and sell. They still want to sell the headphones because that's such a racket. I could see them – maybe they go and they bundle like the $100 ones, which I'm sure cost $20 to make, $10, and it's just all markup. I could see them doing that, because I bet those low-end ones, the earbud ones, are kind of not so good, I'd imagine.
I don't know. I've never used them.
I haven't either. But there's one of those things where it's like the high-end stuff, you get where the components are going. There's magnets. You get where the money's going in those. And those low-end ones, really? What are, you know, at a certain point, you are paying for the brand. You're paying to have, you know, Dre on
well,
your headphones.
I mean, it depends on the headphones. You're paying for comfort. You're paying for all those kind of things. I mean, like, their headphones, I would spend more money than the stock Apple headphones because they fit better.
Well, stock Apple headphones are terrible.
No, I'm just, I mean, like, the reason I spend more money on headphones, I mean, yes, I want a little better sound quality, but I want comfort, me personally.
Oh, no, exactly. I'm saying, like, anytime, for me, anytime there's a, and you, I mean, I'm sure you're responsible. Be like, oh, it's like the Apple tax, but there is a brand tax on stuff like this, I think, where it's,
oh, yeah,
you know, especially when it's that promoted that heavily, there's that much promotion, totally, but it's all about the brand awareness.
Now,
they're not winning strictly on, like, you know, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
audio totally. Engineers aren't using Beats, no matter what they want to try
right,
to tell you.
Right. But that, you know, they also might do a very music centric phone that's the Beats by Dre phone.
That's super smart.
Very smart. Yeah. On a branding. We're totally. Talking about level,
yeah.
You know, and where it's just a cooler music player interface on there, and
totally.
You know, and for a premium, you get the Beats by Dre headphones on, you know, yeah. Whatever.
I want a straight out of Android phone. That's what I want.
You want a what?
Straight out of Android.
Straight out of Android?
NWA, dude. Come on.
Oh, straight out of Compton.
Wow.
Sorry. It took me a second.
Wow.
I my brain was not on that wavelength. So anyway, the way they did the announcement was just stupid. let's just put it there, right? Right?
I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I mean, don't make a big deal and then have your guy go and leak it like the
that
night.
That would be a little press release, and that would be neat.
So terrible announcement.
Yeah.
Other interesting news. There's been all this talk lately about, you know, local native apps, you know, on your mobile devices, HTML5. What's going to happen with that? Can one supplant the other eventually? And a couple interesting moves this week. Kindle had to change their Kindle app for the iPhone and iOS devices because due to new rules that Apple has, right. If you want to go and sell items within your app, basically you have to go and, you know, kick Apple 30%, basically, or you have to
that's what it is. They take. I mean, they in-app purchases, they take 30%.
Yeah, or you have to remove the link to your, you know, to your product from the application in general. Mm-hmm. So the Kindle application, you never could actually do in-app purchases there.
It took you
to the Kindle store, but now right. That's apparently not allowed as well. So this week, Amazon released the
Cloud Reader
app, which basically
to go with their cloud brand.
Yeah, it's an HTML5. Kindle app basically that you can use on your browser, and you can also use in the iPad. There's an iPad native version. And so basically a lot of people are saying like, oh, it's just this huge thing and like Apple's getting screwed and stuff. I played with the app. It's nice. You know, it's a little bit slow. It's what you'd expect. Fine. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's fine. It's a little bit slower than the other one. I had a crash, but I'm also running beta software. So who knows about that? I don't want to say that's the application. Right. It may just be, you know, beta Safari. And it's fine. You know, I don't think I would choose it over the native app because I don't go do that much buying on my iPad, actually. It's easy enough to go to the thing.
Right.
It's well done. There's local storage on it. Basically, they have it implemented where if you add it to your home screen, you lose all the browser Chrome, like we talked about with that Pi Man game a couple weeks ago.
And also on the computer side,
mm-hmm.
You can also use it.
Right, it works on anything. Except the iPhone. It's not working on the iPhone.
Oh, maybe not the iPhone, but I believe it locally caches your books.
Correct.
On the computer,
which is a function of HTML5. Because they have local storage, which is really cool.
Yeah, which is very cool. So, yeah. Like if you were reading it on your laptop or something, and you didn't have internet access,
you got on a plane, you still have your book. Yeah,
which is nice. They were not the only company to do this.
Correct.
This week.
Yeah, Vudu is a video streaming service like Amazon, like I think Roku doesn't, or Boxy. Boxy uses Vudu, do they not?
Vudu is on Boxy.
Yeah.
And Walmart. Online and it's, yeah.
Yeah, and Walmart uses them for their video streaming service. They released something as well. Play with that as well. Not as nicely done as the Cloud Reader. It doesn't look like a real app. You add it to your home screen. It's just a link. And, you know, you still have the browser Chrome. It's not really that kind of, you know, it's not a full experience for video viewing, in my opinion.
How does the video look, though?
It's fine. Like, I only could look at a trailer. I'm not a member.
But it looked okay.
There's some pixelation. It wasn't best. But, you know, it's also, you know, sometimes Netflix has the same problem. You know, I'm not going to say that's a universal indicator of the thing.
Right.
It was fine.
Sure. Yeah.
It was fine.
I mean, let's talk about, in general, the companies are doing this in response to Apple's taking 30% of in-app purchases. Where do you stand on that? I mean,
well, I think a couple things. I don't think it's directly in response to that. I think they need to go. It's smarter for all these companies to go and have a unified. It's smarter and easier for them to have a unified.
The Vudu one is directly in response to it.
But basically, it's in all these people's interest to go and have a an app that's deployed across all possible HTML5 platforms,
absolutely.
It's not just iOS. And that, in that sense, it makes sense because they don't have to worry about a native app for Playbook and a native app for – I'm sorry. No one's ever going to make a native app for Playbook. native app for the touchpad and for everything else. And so in that sense, I don't know if it's directly related. I mean, it's obviously they don't want to go in, giga 30% if they don't have to. But clearly it's, in their best interests. I think Apple also knew this was coming to a certain degree. They've done enough support in Mobile Safari to be the most HTML5 compliant mobile browser out there.
Right.
Like the thing about, where you add something to your home screen, it loses the Chrome. They clearly are supporting mobile apps.
Sure.
Web apps.
Sure.
And I think they want, my opinion is I think they clearly want the best implementation on their devices, whether it's a native app, whether it is a web app. They want their devices to be the best place to have any of these experiences because that will make you go –
right.
If you can have a better experience with the cloud player, web app on an iPad versus, a Zoom, that's an incentive to go and buy the, buy the iPad.
Sure, but, they didn't get rid of the Kindle app. Amazon still has the Kindle app for reading.
Right, and I think some people will prefer to use that because it's a better experience. In terms of the 30% thing –
But the 30% of – even if you're okay with the 30% for the App Store, which we all know where I stand on that, regardless of that, 30% for in-app purchases, why? I'm not sure I follow that necessarily. Because let's say Amazon had a app in there and you're buying your TV from that app. Why does Apple need to take 30% of that purchase? I don't know.
I don't think that makes sense.
No. I'm not sure even why they did it. It feels strange to me. I mean, I get it for the bookstore. Yes, they want to push their own bookstore because they have their own. Okay, maybe I get that. But across the board, I don't get it.
Well, it's basically only in-app purchases.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. I'm saying in-app purchases.
Because how does it currently with the Amazon
application? I know they're obviously supporting – it's their payment system coding, whatever.
Right, and their customer base and that kind of stuff.
I get that. But, charge a company a fee to use that part of the software or something. Not 30% of your sales
from
a company. Products that they're selling.
Part of me goes, I have two different opinions on it. I mean, part of me goes, that's terrible and why they even care. Part of me goes, there is a tremendous infrastructure cost that they are going and supporting.
I agree, there is.
I think at a certain point, you can't get that granular. I think you have to say, here's what it is across the board. It's this percentage via apps, via music, whatever it is. You kind of have to be across the board because otherwise you get into weird gray areas and it gets kind of tricky for people. I do agree that in some cases it's, it is totally annoying. And in some cases you have smaller developers where it is a problem.
Even think about books for Amazon, they can't do that. Amazon can't do it because
Disagree completely. Amazon used to go and take 70%.
No,
hold on a second.
What I'm talking about. You're not hearing what I'm saying. To sell a book,
right?
They can't give away 30%. It doesn't make business sense because they're making no money.
That's what I'm saying. Incorrect. Because Amazon used to go and take 70% of sales, basically. And then when Apple came out with iBooks and all the renegotiations happened.
Amazon used to take 70% from who?
That's how much they took of sales.
Publishers
got 30%.
Right, I know. I'm talking about Amazon, not the publishers.
I'm saying and now Amazon takes 30% and publishers get 70% of what it sells for.
Right, but
that's like the agency model has changed.
They're the reseller.
But I'm saying the notion that Amazon can't afford to lose that, I think, is incorrect. Amazon already took a 40% hit on what they were taking. I'm saying Amazon wants to make as much money as they can.
Everybody wants to make as much money as they can, but when you have a product that doesn't have a huge margin, 30% is a lot of money. That's all there's to it, regardless of how you look at it. When there's not a big margin of the product, 30% off of that hurts a lot.
Obviously, it hurts.
A lot.
But second of all, Amazon never sold books in their app.
I know.
You know what I mean? They never did.
No, I know.
My biggest bone is I think it's kind of silly that from a user perspective, that you can't go and have a link within an app to an outside store. The 30% thing for me, that makes sense because if it's within the app, it's within the iTunes ecosystem, then that makes sense to me. The fact that you can't link to outside stuff to me is what's annoying because that is a consumer. That's an extra step for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my big problem with it.
Right.
In my opinion, Apple can kind of charge whatever they want, and it's their skating rink.
If you don't want to skate there,
you can skate somewhere else. I don't know why I just went to skating rink. That was weird.
Yes, they can, and that's we've had that argument. But I'm just saying, I'm just not sure I see the aside from money for Apple, I don't see the advantage for anything else.
I think it's easy to go.
Except for pushing people away from developing an app like Vudu, who's not developing an app anymore.
I think the idea is if you're going to go and be within their system, you basically get advantages. You get competitive advantages.
And also this is the reason you'll never be able to do that kind of stuff with like Netflix.
You get competitive advantages by being integrated, within that store, by having a seamless experience. I'm sure their rationale is that basically if you're within that realm, you're going to go and get more customers because their customers are more likely to buy stuff. If it's within the app, they're going to be more likely to buy stuff. You're basically going to go and see I'm sure the theory is you're going to see an uptick, in sales by having it integrated. And that's reasonable for them to go.
30%? It would have to be 30% to make sense.
But here's what I'm saying. You can go and nitpick whatever kind of numbers you want. Like it's not – I don't think the argument should be made on numbers. I think the argument he's made on is it reasonable for them to go and, take a cut of that.
But even think of a magazine subscription where it's $12.95 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy it in there, Apple's taking 30% of $12.95 for the magazine subscription where they're barely making any money off that anyway. I don't know. I just don't see why.
But I think the question is if you can get it other ways, does it really matter?
No, I guess not.
That's like the 30% thing doesn't bother me. The links to outside stores is what bothers me.
No, I'm just saying on Apple's front, the only benefit aside from dollars and cents that people keep on there, but the only thing that can happen that's not happening is people won't want to develop an app that can do that for Apple, like Vudu.
Well, I think then the response is too, then maybe Vudu doesn't get as many customers and doesn't get as much usage.
And then everyone starts doing what Vudu and Amazon are doing, and then there's no apps in the App Store, and then there's no App Store.
I think that's a long way.
It is.
I think that's
yes, but that's the extreme example of what can happen with something like that.
Sure. In a theoretical possible future.
No, that's the extreme example.
Exactly.
And if the web apps are good enough, which maybe they will be eventually – that is what's going to happen.
I think by the time the web apps...
Why wouldn't it? Because it would work on every device and it would work
on... I think by the time web apps get good enough...
Not that far off.
Yeah, I think we're at least 5-6 years easy.
That's not that far.
But I mean, but in this market...
That's not that much.
But basically my point is that's... If you basically... that also assumes that Apple will not be iterating and creating new ways to go and make their products better and differentiate all that kind
of
stuff. I think... Do I think an app market, is going to be around forever? Absolutely not. I think eventually the technology will evolve to a place where things will be different and products will differentiate on different bases. You basically at a certain point, it will be, maybe it's implementation in the browser that makes, something a better platform than something else. But I mean, yes, in a possible world, could all apps disappear as a function of this? I mean, could all ones that have in-app purchases disappear? Sure. But basically at that point, you have a world where things are differentiated by different cases. And at that point, the App Store is not even relevant in the first place. So it's not a loss. You know what I mean?
Well, I just think it pushes it towards that.
But if web apps are everywhere and ubiquitous, then an app store isn't a differentiating, element in an item either way. And that's what Apple
should be anyway. I mean, the app itself should be the differentiating factor.
Well, I think the platform is the differentiating factor. Basically, if you have a platform that's easy to develop for and gets
change.
Developers money, then that's worth developing for, and that becomes your differentiator.
Right.
Because then you get the apps because of that. When it changes where platforms are ubiquitous and it can be just in a browser, then obviously everything has to change at that point. An app store doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't until there was an app store.
Yeah. But I'm saying if you said today if the app store went away, would that be terrible for Apple? Yes. Will it be terrible for Apple in 6 years when app stores aren't relevant? No.
Sure. But I don't think the app store will go away. I think the developers will move to these HTML5 type apps.
Right.
And get off the app store because they don't want to pay the 30%. And then Apple will say, okay, we're not charging 30%. We're still going to keep an app store. Why don't you guys come back? Why not?
Why not?
Why does it hurt them? It only keeps people on Apple devices to have an app store.
I think
even if they're not taking the money.
I think
it brings people in. Having that app store, regardless of if they're taking 30% or not, brings people in. And it changes their infrastructure because they don't have to keep their infrastructure the same.
But it doesn't make sense for them to go and basically to give away this stuff at a loss to go and bring people in. If they're not taking 30%, then yes, it does. That's what I'm saying. You can't. If you go out, Apple's like, no, we're not going to take 30%. Just come back. That doesn't make sense to me.
So what would they would just say? No app store and have fun. Go to Android instead because –
You assume that once again
calling it all in one area as an quote-unquote app store is a benefit to Apple, regardless if they charge or not.
But here's what I'm saying. Apple's perspective is not from the outside, I know certain
just like the free apps in the App Store.
I know certain positions are that people that Apple wants to have the App Store so they can like you know rape developers and do all this stuff and lock people in. I think that Apple likes to have the App Store because having apps is a competitive advantage.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying
So
when the market moves to a place where you know discrete native apps aren't the focus as much as web-based apps, Apple will move to a place where their products are designed to provide a superior experience in that arena. And that will be their advantage.
But they already do that.
Sure. I'm saying they will continue to do that. So at that point, people just won't run over to Android because the apps will be uniform, so Apple can differentiate on what's the better product once again. You know, their goal is always going to be to differentiate on what can provide the best experience for the user.
Right, but they don't create the apps.
But I'm saying browsers.
But so if they have a better store,
but I'm saying browsers have differences though.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? Like, you know, mobile Safari has better support for HTML5 apps than Android browser does.
Does it?
Yeah, it has better.
Built off the same thing.
But their implementation is different. You know, even things like the Chrome implementation.
Aren't they both WebKit?
They're both WebKit. They're different, though.
Both built off the same exact. Like ground,
but mobile Safari has, I don't remember which stuff, but mobile Safari has better HTML5 implementation at the moment. Okay. You know, and as that stuff evolves, that will continue to, there will be differences, and people evolve the browsers in different ways. Another stuff is, you know, staying stagnant,
right?
You know,
right?
You know, so I think eventually a notion of an app store probably will go away.
Well, I mean,
and I think there will be different ways to compete at that point.
Yeah, I don't see the app store concept going away, because even if you're not getting paid for it, there's still an easier way to get your apps on a device. And if you have a better store or a better way to browse and rate and whatever, people are still going to want to go to you, even if you're not making money off of it. Just like iTunes and, you know, iTunes podcasting.
That might be very true, because I could see a situation where you basically, maybe you have an app store and it's essentially just a way, it's just a curated list of way to browse
things.
That's
what I mean.
But you don't have to go and pay infrastructure costs because it's just HTML5 stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you earlier. Got it.
That's exactly what I was saying.
That I can see. But even at that point, it's basically everybody can go and curate, you know,
sure,
a list. So you still have to differentiate and experience.
Well, yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Obviously.
You know.
So interesting that we're seeing the seeds of where it's moving in the future.
Yeah. And my thing is, I think
we both see the same thing.
Absolutely.
And I think this is just like the first time we're actually seeing some major players moving in that direction.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. I'd be very curious to see what the uptake on it is.
I'm curious.
You know?
I wonder. I really wonder. I don't know.
Like Vudu, I don't know anybody that uses Vudu, like on a tablet at least, but do you use it on a computer or?
I've used it on Boxy.
Got it.
I do have to say, at one point they had their own boxes. Do you remember that?
Like
that's
three,
how
four
it started.
Years ago, they were like a pioneer. I mean,
and
a couple
they
years
were
ago.
Owned, if I recall, which I don't think they are anymore. They were owned by a couple of major players, including Disney. It was one of their big first founders. Now I'm almost positive they're not.
Yeah.
Because Disney titles, they even said, are not available on the iPad or whatever.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that they're not involved in it anymore. But the whole concept first was that it was just a box only for video on demand. And that was it. It was just a video on demand box. That's what they first started out with. But I do have to say their service, their like whatever they use for their streaming,
mm-hmm,
is some of the best I've seen.
Nice.
Like their HD streaming takes up so little resources. It's impressive.
Huh.
It's very impressive. Like on my older Mac Mini, mm-hmm, out of all the streaming services I've used, the HD video playback on Vudu is the best and like cleanest.
Yeah. Do you know what they're using or?
I don't. I don't know if it's flash based or whatever, but whatever
lighter,
compression,
yeah,
you know, technology they're using is, it's really good.
Huh.
It's really good. I don't know. I honestly don't know why, but I was very impressed.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to be, I mean, the Walmart thing's a big deal, but although.
Well, this is on the flip side of that.
Actually, this is a perfect thing because.
Yeah. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about Best Buy's MP3 store and certain companies compete when they're in there, blah, blah, blah. Walmart has had an MP3 store that when they debuted, and it's been around for a while, like 7-8 years, I want to say.
It's been around for a long time.
And they tried to go and, you know, compete by undercutting iTunes at the time. I think it was 79 cents they had for files.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
That was their big thing.
And they are closing.
They're closing it.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that bought music off their walmart.com
no.
streaming.
Yeah.
Like, I even forgot it existed.
I actually, they announced it. I'm like, oh, is this, I'm reading an old article? Because I assumed it would have been from years ago, but yeah.
I didn't remember that that was there.
Yeah. And this, I mean, I know we kind of disagree on this, but this, I think people, just because you have a big retail presence, I do not think that necessarily means people trust you in terms of digital.
Right.
And we'll obviously see with the Best Buy stuff and, you know, and.
Which still hasn't launched.
Yeah. Because even like the Walmart Vudu thing, it's very, very specifically, you like look at it and it says like powered by Vudu. It's all about Vudu. And like if you click, there's like an iPad app, you know, link
and it kicks
you to Vudu.com.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's they're not taking real ownership of it. They're kind of just like, I guess, partnering and,
They're doing it through
traffic.
The site. Like when you search for a movie.
He comes up with like, you can buy it or you can like, you know, stream. Yeah.
Directly on the wall. And that may be a big advantage for them.
Right.
Because that's the Walmart.com site is heavily trafficked.
Sure.
I mean, trafficked.
Trafficked.
Heavily trafficked.
That doesn't sound sick head.
Trafficked.
We're professionals here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we know our words just fine.
Use your words, Scott.
Use my words. So anyway, they shut it down and we didn't know it was still there.
And
so.
nary a single child shed a tear. Yes.
Yeah. You know, by the way, speaking of the Best Buy thing really quick, the fact that there has been not one word spoken from Best Buy about this since it launched, even when it launched, I feel goes to my theory that it was a total mistake.
Oh, I'm sure it was an accident.
Yeah. Like, like there is not a peep, nothing, not a we apologize, not a zero, nada, nothing, which is makes me just think somebody got fired and it was a total screw up.
Or maybe it wasn't and they were just shamed.
Could be.
Shame.
No, they're too, you know what? They're not smart enough to not try and spin something when they screw it up.
You're that dumb.
So,
well, on the music streaming tip, another, obviously we have all this Apple stuff coming. Every week we talk about what the newest, you know, ridiculous or interesting or reasonable rumor is. This week, a company called Absent Apple had a rumor. They got picked up a bunch of places.
And this is something Brian and I had touched on weeks back.
Actually, Apple and App, excuse me. There's been a lot of talk about the iPhone 5 and then like a lower cost iPhone coming in to kind of help in the commodity market, that kind of thing.
Right.
And this rumor is that there's going to be an iPhone 5 and then an iPhone 4 variant that's going to be a cheap variant with limited storage that essentially is what is known internally, they're saying, is the iCloud iPhone. Now, this got picked up quickly. It's very interesting. There's lots of different ways to take it. There's no confirmation on this. Yeah, at all. I mean, this one site says we have three sources, but it's like, okay, well, we have you, and yeah, we don't know.
We don't
but
believe any of it. But.
It's really, really interesting because we've obviously talked about, you know, the lack of streaming from iTunes in the cloud, you know, and what that means, and if they are going to really, introduce something or not. Having a phone that has that's basically an Apple TV, right? You have local storage for apps, you know, and your phone pictures that you
take. And your contacts and calendar, which take up no space.
Yeah. But what do you do? Like, what's the big thing? Like, on my phone, I think that I have like two or three, or maybe at the most, if I don't, download for a long time, like maybe 4 gigs tops of like actual real stuff. And the rest is all media. You know, movies, music primarily for me. Mm-hmm. And if you had a phone that was similarly like that, you know, so they basically only had to put in like 4 gigs of, you know,
a flash memory
in there, and the rest was all streamable, that's very interesting.
It's very interesting. It can make for a very small phone.
Yeah, and the rumor was that basically they're going to have it it was going to cost $400 off contract, so when you got it subsidized, it would be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very interesting.
I like the concept.
I think it's a fantastic concept. My only question about it is too soon, because I don't think any of these phones in, you know, September, October are going to have LTE, and also cost, because you're going to be using a ton of data if you do that.
And all these carriers are starting to throttle and limit data now.
Right.
So it on that front, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Or maybe it's one of these things where it's, you know, that's the user's problem, right? That's the customer's problem. Like, you know,
Could be.
At a certain point, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you basically get the thing up front for free, you maybe pay some more on the back end, you know, whatever. It makes a lot of sense though, because, you know, one place I think where Apple is getting killed is buy one, get one free, or $90 phones. You have people that are getting phones just because they want a phone. They don't necessarily want a smartphone, but the new, you know, low-end smartphones are kind of the new feature phone in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So if you can go and get that for free, well, you know, you trust Apple or whatever. Maybe you think the iPhone's neat because, you know, whatever. Oh, I'll get that one instead, you know, instead of
a lot of people.
You know,
I mean, we're heavy data users.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that aren't.
They have 200 songs, and they have, you know, like, and if that's from the cloud and they're listening to music every now and then on it, but they want it to surf the web, make their phone call, look at their calendar, look at their contacts.
Play Angry Birds.
Play Angry Birds, yeah. and maybe – and FaceTime. Do FaceTime. Great.
Yeah.
You don't need storage for any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or very little.
And you need like, little. You know, your shuffles worth of music or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people got used to that. It's not that different.
I think it's a great concept. I would like to see it. I think, like you said, it's too early that
it's
to
right
be seeing that.
The,
but I really
right
like
the
idea of a cloud phone.
I think it's it makes sense for them to do it just competitively in the marketplace. That's what makes – that's to me what makes it seem like it's the most realistic versus, you know, the utility of it.
Because I mean, we're already
– they need a way to compete there.
Yeah, and we're already – I mean, like on the Android Google Music front, that's what that is. So it can, it's doable and it works nice. Yeah. So the Apple could totally do it.
And also the fact that they have been so painfully vague about the streaming capabilities of iTunes in the cloud.
I think they're trying to lock up deals.
Well, I think they're trying to go and not reveal, not to tip their hand, because I think
partially
if this is,
I think that's
if this
part
is
too.
In the pipeline,
it's big news.
It's big news, and they're not going to want anybody to know about it because Ice Cream Sandwich is coming up in October. Supposedly, you know, Google's trying to go and get that to market before the iPhone 5 because a lot of original Droid users, we talked about last week, are their 2-year contracts are coming up now because this, you know, 2 years ago was the time when the Droid took off, right?
Right.
They want to have a Google Android, a new one, a sexy option out there ready to go. And this kind of thing will be very, very compelling, I think, for a lot of users. But I think – so I think basically Apple's trying to go and keep it quiet. They don't want to tip their hand too much. I think right now is a very, very critical holiday season coming up in this particular marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and also we have Windows Phone coming up. It's really, really important.
We're going to know so soon.
Yeah.
So soon what's happening.
Yeah. Excited. Halfway through August, only 2 months away now.
Oh my God. Summer's almost over. That's not right.
I don't want to talk about it.
Although summer here goes on. I mean, it's like the hottest months in Los Angeles are September and October.
Miserably hot.
I mean, God, September gets hot.
I need to move. Miserably hot. Miserably hot.
I love it, but miserably hot. I think we should move on to food. Anything else you wanted to...
Well, real quick, maybe we're going to talk about the Facebook Messenger app real quick.
We definitely should.
Real quick aside, we're big users of GroupMe, obviously. And I've talked about that app and Beluga here on the show before. You know, Facebook bought Beluga, which was a competing, you know, application to GroupMe February or March of this year, I want to say.
Early in the year.
And everybody kind of knew didn't know what was going to happen with it. Beluga still continued on as a service. Finally, Facebook introduced a Facebook Messenger app, which is a discrete standalone application that just serves as a chat. So you have access to your emails and your chat. Those are all integrated now in Facebook, obviously, and one discrete thing. You get notifications, blah, 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 blah. It's okay. I mean, I thought it was okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I don't like it.
It's weird to me. The thing that's so good about GroupMe, I mean, you can make groups, you know, in this Facebook Messenger app.
Just like
GroupMe.
You can
name them stuff.
And you can message people that aren't on Facebook.
Right.
In a group.
How do you do that?
It just does it through text.
Okay. Do you put their name in or you have to put in the number?
It pulls from your address book.
Okay.
So their mobile number.
Right. GroupMe is so interesting to me because it is activity based. If you want to go and do something with your friends, you basically can start a group, you know, bowling, and then basically send it to like, you know, your 30 friends you think might be interested, or I mean less than that, but you know, people might think, and then like basically you can start the group on that, and that makes it very active and fun. Facebook Messages, a messenger.
I don't like it.
It's weird. It's almost like a news group thing.
I don't like it being integrated with Facebook's current messages and like. Inbox.
It's confusing.
I don't like that. Like if this came out and it was separate and there was a new feature on Facebook called, you know, group messaging or something.
Right.
And it was a separate area, I would like it better. When I open the app, I have 50 conversations in there.
Yeah.
What do I need that for? On my mobile, you know, that's not what I'm using it for.
At the very least, they should have broken it out as a tab or something separate.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, actually, that would have been smart if there were two sections to the app itself.
Mm-hmm.
One was like Facebook conversation, the other one was group messaging. I would find that more work better.
Yeah,
You know, and it actually, like functionality, it works very well.
I also think this doesn't seem very thought out though, because if you look at the Beluga application and the Facebook Messenger application, they are basically identical except for there's a broader view of in Beluga you called them pods, but whatever. And like you had like a pod screen where you could make these groups. And here it's kind of, you know, like Scott said, it's all basically part of like your message and chat list. It feels rushed. It feels rushed in response to Google Plus huddles, and it just doesn't really seem to add anything useful. It's not thought out as a product. And I love Beluga. I love Beluga more than I like GroupMe. Although the new GroupMe 3.0 is fantastic, but but it's just odd. It's like it's a solution to
It's not a solution.
It's
that's the thing.
Yeah, it's basically an answer to a question that doesn't really exist right now.
Yeah, and I think it's making the stuff they've revamped on the Messenger on Facebook in general, I can't stand, even though they changed it recently. It makes it worse with this.
Yeah.
It's making it worse. Like,
well, you need to go. They're not – you don't use them for the same things. You do not use direct chatting and or messaging. You know, and they made this push with Facebook email addresses. It makes no sense to have a Facebook email address, all that stuff, in along with a group thing. They are different functions using for different things.
I don't like –
you don't combine them.
The instant messaging – combined with the
email
in part. I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like I look at, you know, I see my brother on Facebook, right? And I say, hey, how you doing? You know, he had some stitches. How's your face doing? You know, long story, not going to get into it, but he writes me back, fine, everything's going well. I don't want that in my inbox. What the hell do I want that in my inbox for?
I like that because what I found for me, what it ends
for a three sentence conversation that is, I don't even ever need to see it again. I don't need to save that. I don't need to see that.
I liked it because it kind of makes all my communications over Facebook.
I mean, because then when you look in your inbox.
More informal, I guess. You know what I mean? I like having them all there. It's kind of an extended, you know, conversation.
But do you like when you go into your inbox on Facebook and if you're trying to find something, it's mixed in there with like 100 conversations you've had with people? It's literally a list of 100. How do I find the one I was looking for from, you know, from last week when I've had 20 IM conversations that are above it? It's hard to navigate.
Yeah, I've had no problems. I've actually really liked that part of it.
Do you Facebook Messenger often?
Yeah.
Do you Facebook email often?
I mean, formal message versus just chat?
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, I chat very rarely. I always have used Facebook messages as a chat.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I really use like the pop-up chat, you know, the dashboard. I've had to turn it off ever since they changed the interface. It's terrible. I've never used Facebook Messenger. I've always been on AIM or I just, you know, Facebook.
Right.
I mean,
I use the chat on occasion. I don't use it that much. I'm in more in other IM programs, but I do use it. And so having that be in with my messages drives me crazy.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I always use the Facebook message as more of a, you know, longer form chat.
Right. I always have liked Facebook messages being able to group message through Facebook,
mm-hmm.
like to do what you do with GroupMe, although now you can do it totally on GroupMe. But I've always liked that to plan something or, you know, you send to 10 of your friends, we're going to go to a movie, everybody in, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like that's always worked well, but now it's just hard to find those things.
Yeah.
You know?
And another Facebook, and this is real quick, another not so friendly Facebook thing. A lot of, you know, news out there. You've probably saw it on your own Facebook page about Facebook stealing my numbers. They're giving my numbers available to everybody else.
People, come on.
Yeah, but here's the deal. If you basically had, you know, an iPhone app, and I'm assuming it's the same
this
with the Android
new,
app.
This is not new, by the way.
Yeah, if you, you know, I'm sure if you've ever gone to sync up your contacts so you can get your friends' Facebook pictures in your contacts, the way it does that is Facebook goes and sends all your phone numbers and contact information up to Facebook, you know, headquarters, and they kind of, you know, pair it with their stuff, and then they send you down the pictures. They say that they're sending up the numbers. What they didn't say is that they're storing them on a separate page. So that if you go up to your Facebook account, there is a separate contacts page that will have every single number on your phone uploaded there. I did not realize that
but
either.
But it's not public.
It's not public at all.
It's just like you syncing with your own Outlook.
Oh, sure.
Or syncing with your Gmail.
Yeah. I don't like it because that was not made clear to me that it was going to be stored permanently. I suspected it will be because I'm suspicious and
wear a tinfoil hat. You're syncing your contacts. I mean,
but it's like there's no need for them to keep it, which is what makes me –
but
I don't like
they're not keeping it. You're keeping it.
Well, no. They're keeping it on their server.
But just like syncing your address book to your address book in Gmail. They're keeping it on their server, but you're syncing it with your account. You chose to sync, and it says sync very clearly.
Yeah, but I don't think when people go and sync it, I think they are doing it to go. They don't. It's not specifically made clear that it's going to be kept there. I think it's, you know, because oftentimes with other services, you will sync stuff or give access to your address book to find, you know, friends that are on, you know, other services, that kind of stuff all the time.
Yes,
I don't go into Twitter and ever see, you know, all my contact information from my address book up there. automatically without me realizing it. You know, I think, and that's where people got confused. Yeah. If you do want to go and change it, it's pretty simple. We'll go and post, you know, post it in the show notes.
Yeah, you can change it. I mean,
you can just delete that whole page.
I think it's a whole big deal about nothing.
Well, I think saying that they're giving it away and it's publicly accessible is ridiculous and, you know, alarmist. But if you don't want your stuff up there on a page in Facebook just to be safe, like me, you can go and delete it.
To be honest, like when you look at the iPhone and there's the area for your Gmail, right? Mm-hmm. And it says sync contacts on or off. When you go into Facebook, there's an area that says sync contacts on off. It's the same. It looks exactly the same. Why would you think it would do something different?
Because here's the difference. In Facebook and Gmail, I actually have a Gmail contacts account that I'm syncing. You know, my phone's going to have the same account as what's on the web. On Facebook, I'm syncing my contacts, but I'm not expecting it to go and, you know, if there's a Facebook person up there, I expect that to sync. I don't expect it to store numbers of people that aren't on my Facebook.
Why? I mean, I don't know. I think there's no way to tell you either way. I guess it's just preconceived notion.
But you think that would be normal that they're going to go and like store all your contact information up there?
I'm syncing my contacts with an address book, basically.
But like you say sync, doesn't it seem – and to me that implies you would be syncing like, you know, common data sets, right?
Well, but those are the common data sets that Facebook has. They don't have addresses and they don't have notes. Like they have phone numbers and picture and name.
But syncing to me doesn't make sense that in this case – that Facebook would be going and holding on to all my information that they do not already have.
Facebook, that's what it means. You're syncing it up to your Facebook account. You're doing exactly that, right?
I think the way they present it is very unclear.
I don't know. I mean, if I sync something, I expect to sync something.
Because basically if you open up the iPhone application, you see, and you turn on syncing, it says add Facebook profile pictures and links to contacts. That's all it says. That to me basically says when I click this button to on, it's going to add Facebook profile pictures and links to my contacts. They tell you specifically that's exactly what it does.
Right.
It says nothing about them storing your other information up on their servers at all.
But links to contacts, I mean, that's your contact information, isn't it?
But add Facebook profile pictures from Facebook to my personal address book, and links, i.e. links to people's Facebook profiles to my contacts. It says nothing about add your personal phone numbers to Facebook servers.
All right.
You know, and I think that's where it gets confused because people read this and it says it's going to do one specific thing.
I guess.
It defines what this syncing function is very specifically.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's much ado about nothing.
Well, I think the paranoia about them getting access to your stuff is crazy. But I think they misrepresent what this function does.
Okay. And yes, that looks like they do. But once again, you're syncing it to your own account. Who cares?
Once again, we have differing feelings about how much of our personal information can get synced up and, you know, used by certain companies. Because I think it's very.
But you're not giving it to Facebook to use for other stuff. You're syncing it with your own account.
It hasn't happened to me. Other reports are that if they have those numbers, they will, and your friends aren't on Facebook, they will ping them to join Facebook via phone number.
I have not heard of that.
I haven't seen that, but I've read it several places.
Well, and yes, if they do that is wrong. But I haven't heard that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, just as far as it going into your account,
But like you said,
if you get upset about it, okay, you can change
I think it's reasonable for people to go and expect the Facebook app to do what the Facebook app says it does. I think that's reasonable.
The thing is, it doesn't say it doesn't do that.
Well, it also doesn't say it kills
puppies
either.
But it says sync contacts, doesn't it?
It says no, it doesn't. It has a button that says syncing. The page is called sync contacts, and there's a button
sync contacts.
And there's a toggle that says syncing, and below it says add Facebook profile pictures and links to contacts. And then there's another toggle that says replace photos that says replace existing photos in your contacts. It basically says in both cases what this toggle button is going to do, and it does not do that. It does more than that, and it basically takes all your personal information.
It does a lot more than that, actually.
I know.
It does a ton more.
I know, and I think that's misrepresented.
But nobody's getting mad about the other stuff.
I think they should. I think Facebook
Nobody's
should be
saying anything about the other stuff.
I think Facebook should be very clear about what they do with this stuff. Okay. Given their track record with privacy.
They should be clear, but this is not a big deal. It's not doing anything.
If you don't want your personal information stored on Facebook without your knowledge, you can delete the page. We'll put links into it in the show.
Yes.
I don't think there's a need to go and say it's not doing anything. I think they are taking your information without telling
you. And giving
you.
It to you. Right?
Why are you okay with Facebook basically storing your personal information on their servers without telling you? They're not telling you that they're doing it. That doesn't bother you?
No, because it's my account. It's not like they're storing it on the public Facebook page where anyone can see it.
You think Facebook does not do anything with your personal information? You don't think
they're doing anything with the phone numbers, no. And I don't think they're doing anything with my, well, actually, just the phone numbers.
So, but you do admit that they're basically, they mine all your stuff. They go and, you know, try to serve you ads. They go and like clock all your stuff, all your
interactions. They do.
Okay. But then the phone numbers, they're magically not touching that.
I don't think they are.
Okay. We shall disagree, because I think phone numbers is a way to go and create a larger social graph outside of your contacts on the page to help them better serve you ads, help them better go, you know, and target you for various things where they want to go and present to you.
I think it's a huge way
for them to go and grow, you know, what graph they think you are part of beyond what you actually do. I think it's not cool.
Okay.
You know, I agree that they're not making it accessible, but I think what they're doing is it
doesn't register to me at all. I think it's much ado about nothing. You think it's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal. I think they should go and be honest about what they're doing.
Okay. And if they were honest, would it be a big deal? If they told you that, would you care?
I would actually not do it, because you know what? I actually didn't say this for the longest time. If they told you, there'd be no problem.
Okay.
Because then people are making the choice. Okay. It's basically them doing stuff without giving the user the choice.
All right.
You don't think people should be given the choice?
I think when you say you're syncing your contacts, you're syncing your contacts.
Even though it says it's doing something different, you think that's okay?
I think it's telling you, it says sync contacts, the name of the thing. Inherently, sync contacts to me, regardless of the other things it does, means sync contacts.
So you don't think this is misrepresentative at all?
Not really, no.
Okay. So food this week, sir.
Yes, food. We're going to bring ourselves back to a lovely thing called ice cream. And I think I may have mentioned this place before, but I don't think I ever really went into like a detailed review. And if I did, I don't remember. I tried to look back at past episodes. I'm like, have I ever talked about this before? I can't remember. And that's a good thing, because it means this is our 25th episode, right?
It is indeed, sir.
Which is a good thing. So there is an ice cream place out here. And once again, if I've talked about this before, I'm talking about it again because it's so good. Called Sweet Rose Creamery.
You have not.
Okay. Good. I'm racking my brain thinking, why haven't I talked about this place? I should have talked about this place because it's amazing. It is an ice cream place out here in Brentwood / Santa Monica, California. And it's a small family run ice cream place. Homemade ice cream, farmers market, fresh ingredients. The flavors change on a daily basis. So it's a really unique place. Gourmet, fresh-made ice cream. Just a special little place. A special little place.
Yeah. What is special about the ice cream? What do they do differently?
So, first of all, they make their own ice cream there,
mm-hmm.
number one. That's which is unique. Other places do that, but it's another thing. But it's the flavors that they do. The fact that they go daily to the farmer's market and will create their flavors based on the fresh stuff that they find.
That's rad.
It's pretty amazing. Like, you know, their standard stuff is like, you know, they have salted caramel and they have fresh mint they make their own chocolate chips for the ice cream, like homemade chocolate chips in the mint chocolate chip ice cream.
That's cool.
You know, that kind of quality, you know. But they do stuff like farmer's market melon, summer corn ice cream, peaches and cream during the season, lemon cucumber mint sorbet, honey roasted apricot sorbet. Like, these are just amazing different flavors. You don't think they're going to be good, and they're just incredible. When I went there, I had this fresh raspberry and crushed cookies, you know, fresh farmer's market raspberries and crushed cookies ice cream.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and you can really taste the flavor difference in mm-hmm. The ice cream itself, just if you go for like the plain vanilla.
Sure.
I mean, it tastes like – it really has a milk flavor to it. And it doesn't taste even Ben and Jerry's still tastes like a processed ice cream.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This tastes like they took milk, cream, and sugar, just mixed it in the back, froze it, and you're eating it. You know, like that's how fresh what differentiates the taste of this ice cream. So I don't. Have you been there?
Isn't this the place we went to with Sam that one time?
I believe so. Okay. Yes,
they have fantastic milkshakes as well.
Yes, that's the place we went.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, remember those milkshakes?
Tremendous milkshakes.
I mean, like. Insane. And they also do like their own homemade popsicles almost, or so they have like strawberry and milk, peaches and blueberries, and these great popsicles that they have all year round that you can buy. Just I like seeing places like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little pricey, but you are paying for quality ingredients. You know, you don't feel like you're getting screwed on the price or anything like that, even though you are paying a little bit money right. for these things.
They don't sell small cookies, is what you're saying.
No, they don't sell small cookies. Although, you know what? Follow up on that.
Oh no! What did I do?
No. I went there with our friend. I went this. If those of you who remember, there was the $3 cookie incident that of 2011.
Yeah, let me find what episode that
was. I don't remember what episode it was, but just a little recap. I went. They had $3 cookies, and I thought it was too much for a cookie. So
you were very angry that it was $3 for a cookie.
So. Two follow-ups. One, there is a place called Tavern near me, which is a very high-end restaurant and then like kind of bakery and larder area. And they have these chocolate chip cookies, which I think are better than the $3 cookies, and they're $2. But that's not my follow-up. My follow-up is I went to the $3 cookie place with my friend Sam. And I said, I went on my little rant about the $3 cookies, and he's like, well, I have to try one. So he buys a $3 cookie. He completely disagreed with me. He thought it was one of the best cookies he's ever had. And he's like, I held myself back from getting another one.
This is why I'm friends with Sam.
I was like, wow. I did not expect that. I did not expect that. So, you know, some people think it's worthy of $3. Go figure. I don't know. So just back to my original ice cream thing. It seems like this is a little bit of a trend in ice cream places. I think these kind of places are popping up a little bit around the country from what I've seen and what I've read. And if they have any of these places in your hometown, I recommend trying it and try a flavor that you don't think would be good. Like at this place, summer corn, it makes amazing ice cream. You know, you wouldn't expect these unique flavors. And also what I really like about this place is some days they will have just a small batch of a certain ice cream and then that's it. And then they won't ever have it again for like months, you know, like it's that specific to what the guy finds when he goes to the farmer's market from the locally grown produce and everything. So Sweet Rose Creamery, amazing place. I'll put the link to the website and, you know, please, if you're in Los Angeles, check it out.
Yeah, while it's brutally, painfully, hot. Awfully, it,
perfect
apocalyptically
for the summer.
Hot.
Perfect
yes.
for the summer. Yes.
Definitely.
And you too can enjoy your Sweet Rose Creamery.
And
ice cream.
Milkshakes.
And milkshakes. And just to – did we have the coffee milkshake when we were there?
I think I had the mint chip.
Oh, you had the mint chip. I had the – they have a, like a fresh coffee milkshake also, which is incredible. And when I was there – I'm remembering all these things. When I was just there, I didn't try it. I was kind of in a rush and whatever. But they had stout ice cream, which was basically beer ice cream, but with no alcohol.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, amazing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Stout float.
Oh.
Hmm.
We're going to go there right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to do that right now. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you like it, please give us a rating on iTunes. Only a 5-star rating. Yeah, because we are that good, and you should not rate anything below that. It's a good way for people to go and find new listeners, pop up in the rankings. I've never seen you render speechless before. That was great.
I don't know what to say to that. Well, because you know, my instinct. This is how disturbing our relationship is. My instinct was to argue with you on that.
If you do a rating, Brian, it makes total sense to me that you should be able to rate it 0 stars if you want to.
It was totally – that was my total instinct, but I'm like, no, I agree.
Anyway, iTunes, Tech Bacon, give us a rating of any sort. If you hate the show, don't bother. But if you like it, please do. Also, we're on Twitter. I'm at BC Bishop. Scott is your
Scott at Scotty G. You know, please
Scotty G7.
Oh my God, at Scotty G7. Please interact with us. We're kind of out there in the Twitter sphere.
Indeed. Also, techbacon.net. And yeah, thanks everybody for joining us. Hope you had a good time. I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
Take care.